We continue with our series on the Beatitudes, and we're going to skip over the last of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, and jump to Lord's Prayer, because it kind of fits more with the Quest for Truth this weekend. And then next Sunday, we'll come back to blessed are the peacemakers, because after all, it's Mother's Day next Sunday, and I think blessed are the peacemakers goes really well with Mother's Day, right? And all the mothers said, amen. Yeah. Okay, so the Lord's Prayer this morning. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, so this morning I want to take a look at the Lord's Prayer in a little more depth. We say it a lot, but do we really think about what we're saying? But first, I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this guy who goes to heaven, and when he gets there, of course, he's at Heaven's Gate, and St. Peter is there to greet them. And St. Peter says, well, listen, if you can answer three questions, then you can enter Heaven's Gates. And so he says, you're going to have a little time to think about them. The first is, how many seconds are in a year? And second, how many days of the week have a T in them? And third, what is God's first name? So apparently this guy, you know, was in a gray area. And so Peter said, I'll give you overnight to think about it. And so the guy comes back the next day, and St. Peter asks him, and he says, okay, now how many seconds are there in a year? And the man said, 12. And Peter said, well, how did you get that? And he said, well, you know, January 2nd, February 2nd. And Peter thought about it, and he said, you know, that's not what I was looking for, but technically you're all right. And so then he says, okay, the second question is, how many days a week have a T in them? And he says, 2. And he said, all right, now how did you get that? And he said, well, today and tomorrow. And St. Peter again said, well, you know, okay, that seems to be correct, but that's not what I was looking for. He said, well, how about this one? What's God's first name? And the guy said, Howard. And Peter said, well, how did you get that? He said, well, you know, it's the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know, so. But how often do we really think about our prayers and pray prayers that we really mean? Someone once said, what's the difference between a prayer in a church and a prayer in a casino? And someone said, well, in a casino, you really mean it. Oh, you got that one, did you? All right. So we want to think about, what does this prayer really mean as part of the Sermon on the Mount? And I said, this is Jesus' first sermon, but it gives us such practical and powerful advice to every day, and Jesus lived out these things. And so the first thing is, when we think about prayer, is that Jesus first talks about attitude. And you know, attitude is really important in prayer. And Jesus' sort of overriding thing seems to be, keep it simple and keep it heartfelt. That's what prayer is all about. And he says this, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues or in big cathedrals, whatever you like there, to be seen by others. But he said, pray in a closet or in a room where it's just before God. And we pray in part of the church, and that's real important too. But, you know, there's a part of our prayer life that needs to kind of be in our bedroom alone, centered on God, or a space that's ours where it's just between our Heavenly Father and ourselves. And so he said, don't be praying to be seen in others. It's not how eloquent you are, but how heartfelt it really is. And so it's all about your attitude. Isaiah said, this people prays to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And our prayer should bring us in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and think about that. So let our prayers be authentic. Be real in your prayers. Come to God as you would a person that's right before you. And then to take a closer look at these sort of phrases that we pray so often, sometimes we roll through them so quickly. So I'd like to take a closer look at the Lord's Prayer. And really there's four parts, if you kind of think about it, or one way to think about it. And those four things are praise, trust, ask, and declare. praise, trust, ask, and declare. And so it begins with our Father. And it's nice to say our Father. You know, some of us, we forget that there's other denominations, and there's other churches, and there's believers in other places and other races around the world. And Jesus begins with our Father, reminding us that we come before the Lord and we're not the only one. We're not the only person as God's child. And God's child extends beyond this church and even beyond this country and around the world. And so we come before the Lord as our Father, and we want to lift up not only our needs, but those around the world as well. And Jesus also prayed, Father. Now, Jesus actually used the term Abba, which many of you may know, which is a very personal term for Abba. It's a term of endearment. It's really like dad or daddy. And Max Lucado one time had a little reflection. He was talking about how he was in Jerusalem one time, and he was crossing a busy street, and he happened to notice this father with a couple of girls. And as he crossed the street, the girls weren't holding his hand, and one girl kind of let go and was busy. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all these people crossing the street, this little girl cried out, Abba. And her dad immediately went back and grabbed her hand and walked across the street. She didn't even have to ask what she needed. She just said, Abba. And it reminded him that we come before God as children of God. And it's a term of endearment. This weekend with the question of the people pray begin with, hey, God. And I like that because it's like, hey, God, it's me. It's your child. And whatever works for you, I think, is great. But it's a term of closeness, of endearment. And father for the ancient world wasn't really about maleness so much. It's about the father was the educator and provider and protector of the family. And so when we come before God, God is the one who teaches us our daily walk and our daily work. And God is the one who protects us and teaches us all about life and guides us along life's way. There are some feminine images of God that are beautiful in the Bible. God is sometimes referred to as sort of a mother hen who puts her wings over her little ones to protect them, and that's important too. And some people struggle with the kind of the maleness if they've had difficulties with their father or male figures, and sometimes we just sort of think about an uncle, or most importantly, think about Jesus. Because for those of us who struggle with those kinds of things, God has come in Christ for so many things, but to show us in human form, what does it look like to God? And God loves us and cares for us and wraps his arms around us. And then it says, who art in heaven? And it reminds us that God comes before us with a perspective that we don't have. That God is above us and transcends us and loves us with open arms. But God can see the plan and purpose when we can't. And so we acknowledge that as God in heaven. And then it's hallowed be thy name. And quite simply, you know, sort of praise the Lord. And so Jesus, the first thing he does is to praise the Lord. And that's, I think, important for us. The first thing in our lives is we try to lift up our praises and to put God first in our life and to just offer worship and praise. And it's so nice in Sunday morning to come and to sing music and to lift up our hearts. And sometimes we get so tangled up with the busyness and cares of the world that we forget to lift our eyes heavenward and to look at our Father in heaven who loves us and to give God thanks and praise. And so we offer God praise. And the next thing is, after praise, is to trust. And there's that phrase there, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so often we come before the Lord and we really want our will. And God wants us to say what we'd like, just like a heavenly parent. God wants us to come before him and to share our hearts and lives. But sometimes we need to sort of first focus on God's will. What's God's will for my life? There's a great story that I love about this little boy coming around Christmas time, and the little boy really wanted a bike, and so he decided he'd write a letter to God. And so the little boy got a piece of paper out, and he wrote, Dear God, I've been a very, very good boy, and I'd really like a bike. And then he thought about that for a moment. He thought, well, you know, I really haven't been a really, really good boy. And so he sort of wadded that up, and he went like, okay, I've been a very good boy. And then he thought, well, that's just not going to work either. God, if God's in heaven, then God knows I haven't been a really good boy just most of the time. And then he thought, and he said, okay, then he got this idea. And so he went underneath the Christmas tree, and there was a manger scene, and he took the little figure of Mary, and he wrapped it up in a towel, and he said, Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again. And yeah, simple, but don't some of us come before the Lord and we think, well, I really want my way. What can I do to get my way? And remember that when Jesus went before the Lord in heaven, he shared his heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. If possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus, in this prayer, lays that out from the very start. And so it's okay to ask God, but remember that God has a will that's beyond ours. God has a perspective that's over ours. And then the next thing is to ask. And when you think about that, Jesus asked for the most practical thing at all for us. Give us this day our daily bread. And not for a week's supply or month's supply. Most of us would like a year's or many years' supply, right, of bread. But just a daily bread. It reminds us of the children of Israel, that they only could pick up enough manna for one day, except when there was a Sabbath, and then the day before they could have 2 days' supply. And that daily bread is sort of an act of trust. And if you think about that, I mean, anywhere you go in the world, there's some kind of bread. I mean, it's unique to that country and that place and that culture, but bread is sort of a staple part of every walk of life, every race, every nation, every culture. And so Jesus prays, give us this day our daily bread. And as we come around the table later this morning, we have this sort of daily bread that's a spiritual reminder to us. And so Jesus prayed and asking. He asked for practical kinds of things, but then he also asked for the spiritual things. And it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some people pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And sometimes people pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. You know, really, it's all pretty much the same. There's nuances and overtones for all of us. The main thing is that Jesus paid the price for us to know forgiveness and new life. And forgiveness isn't just a one-way street. Forgiveness is something we not only accept from God, but we extend to others. And Paul writes this and kind of brings both those images of trespasses and debts together in Colossians. And he writes this. He says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Then he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame, triumphing over them. I love that image of Paul saying Jesus took our debt and nailed it to the cross, and it says paid in full. And it doesn't matter what we've done and how many times we've done something wrong, we know that God has paid the price that we can know forgiveness and new love, and opens his arm and welcome reconciliation to us in love in a powerful way. And so Jesus prays for the practical things, and he prays for the spiritual things, and he extends this prayer not only to ourselves, but to those around us. And I think that's powerful. Jesus prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, when you can ask for forgiveness for others who are torturing you and who are about to kill you, that's a tremendous act of prayer and of forgiveness. And Jesus, once again, didn't just say these words. He lived them out in a powerful way. And then Jesus asked for protection. He says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, every day there's some things that are big and things that are small in our life. I heard about this little girl, and her mom was teaching her how to pray the Lord's Prayer, and her mom was, you know, going through these days, and there's this moment where she was so proud of her little girl, and she was listening to the girl pray it the first time by herself, and she got to this part, and the little girl said, "But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email." And that's a minor evil for some of us, but you know, the truth is sometimes there's minor things and there's major things in our hearts and lives, and that word deliver comes from a Greek word that has to do with power. So this is a great power that it's God's power that shields us and protects us in a powerful way. And then Jesus ends with this declaration. You see lots of things about declaration out there, what it means and how it is, but Jesus does it in a very simple way. Jesus says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that's a tremendous act of daily trust. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And there's tremendous trust in that declaration. And so for all of us, think about that. Sometimes it's a childlike prayer and the simplicity and the beauty that comes before God. And that's what God wants us to do. I'm going to close with a couple of thoughts. There's this true story by Jennifer Gavin. And her husband was a lieutenant in the Navy, and back in 1996, her husband was going on to this deployment on a submarine for 70 days in very cold waters, and so normally they don't get to talk to their spouse when the submarine's under the water. And within the first few weeks, it was her habit to kneel down with her two young children. She had a Matthew, who was 3 years old, and a girl, Alexandra, who was two, and so they'd kneel down and pray. And then this one evening, just a couple weeks into this, the kids began, first with the little girl. And she began to pray, please God, please protect Daddy in the ocean, help him not to drown, and please protect him from sharks. And she thought, well, you know, this is a little above and beyond. And the little boy began the same kind of thing. And she thought to herself, okay, well, I don't want to just stop her. This is good for her to pray. And so she let her pray like that for a little bit. And then she didn't really think much about it. And it wasn't until weeks later that she found out something from her husband. And then that when a submarine is under the water, many times it has to come up. And sometimes it has to come up for what's called a medvac. That's a medical evacuation. And sometimes it comes up for a humvac, which is a humanitarian evacuation. And sometimes a relative will pass away. And that's when it comes up for a humvac. And apparently her husband was in the submarine and they had to come up for a humvac. It was an icy of waters and came up. And her husband was helping to help this person into the helicopter. And the helicopter went away. And the conning tower is about 30 feet above the water. And the submarine turned around and headed back out to sea, and it all of a sudden hit some tremendously rough waters, and this submarine plunged into the water, and the conning tower actually went down into the water, and these men were actually 8 feet underneath the water, and they managed to hang on, but then when it came back up, they were able to get down the conning tower and had to go to be treated for hypothermia. And her husband shared this, and it happened to be on the same day that this little girl had been praying. And somehow, you know, this little girl knew more about them than the mother did, that her daddy was in danger, and God kind of listened to that prayer. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we have to follow the intuition that we have, and just with childlike simplicity, put our needs and desires, and even something that may seem a little bit strange to us before the Lord in prayer, and to just give it to God. And so Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and Jesus lived his life with that kind of way. So think about those four kinds of things as we come around the table, the Lord's table this morning, to praise and to trust, to ask and to declare. How do we set our life and our attitudes before the Lord as our Heavenly Father, as our Abba, sort of as our Hey God, if you will. And there's a great psalm that I love. It says this, I'm confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. I'm going to close with one last illustration that I think is beautiful. Father Brendan Manning, I don't know if you've read any of his writings, but he's a Catholic priest, and he's just a tremendous person and lived an incredible life. And he went through some turmoil in his own life and had a very personal relationship and encounter with God. And later on, he was teaching someone who was struggling in his congregation how to pray. And this man just couldn't come before God in prayer, and he felt uncomfortable. So Father Manning said, listen, what you need to do is just put a chair in front of you and then just pray as if Jesus were sitting in that chair and you were talking to a friend, and just share your heart. And that man was just so touched by that. His whole life of prayer and his whole devotional life had been changed by that. And then later on, Father Manning heard that this man was in the hospital and near death, and so he was rushing to the hospital to pray with this man before he passed away. And when he arrived on the hospital floor, the nurses greeted him and said, well, you know, he's already passed away. And she said, but you know, it's the strangest thing. We went into the room and it was so peaceful but odd, but he was laying with his head on the chair. And Father Manning thought for a moment, he just sort of laid his head in the lap of Jesus in that moment and felt God's presence in a tender and powerful way. And you and I, sometimes the simple things are the most important things, and we have a daily walk with the Lord, but in this life and walking into the next life, we can trust that God is there each and every step of the way. There's our practical needs that are there, and even sometimes in a turmoil of life, we have to take a moment and just lift our eyes to our Father in heaven and just say, hey God, or hey Dad, I'm here, and lift my eyes to you. We need to praise God, and then we need to trust God for each and everything, and then we're free to ask God. And then whatever it is, spiritual and protection, and ask him about our daily needs. And then finally, just to kind of declare that you're with me in this life and the next. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes we get in such a hurry in life. We're so much in a hurry that we just go through the motions, even in our spiritual walk and our prayers. So help us to not only to repeat the words that Jesus taught us, but to try to live out that prayer in our life. Help us to take to heart these words that are such a guidance, such a light in the dark. Help us to learn to praise you. Help us learn to trust you and Help us to be free to ask you, but then to declare that you're with us and that we trust you no matter what. We pray that you'd help us each and every day to walk with you along life's way and to trust you in this life and the next. In Jesus' name, amen.